Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and we have a great show for you guys today. We have special guest back for the, fourth or fifth time on the show, Jake Seeley, senior writer at The Athletic Fantasy and host of the All In Sports podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at All In Kid. Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, better than my pup is doing.
Yeah, it was sad news. Glad everything seems to be okay, though. Guys, we also have Rob Clutch and Steve Spack on the show. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you guys ready to talk about fantasy in February?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, it does kind of, but, you know, not much.
Never.
So, not doing a Valentine's Day episode or anything. We are talking to Jake Seeley, like I said. And Jake, I wanted to talk about an article that you brought or that you recently published and a little bit of background. You are one of the best fantasy rankers, whether it comes to football or baseball. So if we talk about in-season ranks for the last 7 years, number four, number two, number four, 4-2, 13, 18, 10, and 9 this last year. And in fantasy baseball, the last 4 years, first, 18th, and 10th. So clearly you have skills when it comes to ranking players. You're in the top 20 every year for both, you know, both sports. Almost always in the top 10, five top five finishes between football and baseball. You released an article on February 3rd on The Athletic titled Jake Seeley, The Secrets to My Ranking Success. And before I let you give a brief, you know, a synopsis about that, I don't know if you remember the last time you were on the show, we were talking about how humble you are. it got brought up where I think you were bragging about your rankings last offseason.
We're just kind of, I don't know what happened in 2017 with the 18 and the 18 in both
baseball
and football. I took a season off or something. I don't know what's going on. But you know the test. Well, there's a reason behind it. I mean, it just really comes down to the process over results, right?
Yep. And I brought that up because the very first sentence of your article, I'm not smarter than you. Okay, maybe just a tad.
I mean, would you expect anything else?
No, and that's why I thought it was just so funny. Can you give our listeners just a little tidbit as to, you know, a little synopsis of the article that you wrote for those of you who maybe don't subscribe to The Athletic yet?
Yeah, this one was for baseball. I did one for football too. There's going to be different approaches for both because obviously you don't do projections and rankings for the same for both, but essentially, what it comes down to is the same thing I told you last year, if anybody remembers from that episode, is it really comes down to the projections and letting projections predict my ranking, well, set my rankings for me. We all have biases or biases or biases or whatever you want to call them. I don't even know what the plural
you,
of bias
you gotta
is.
You got to write on the
works
third
for
one.
Me.
On the third one. So, in any case, you know, we're going to have feelings that we have about players. We're going to have, you know, well, I like this situation better than others. And we kind of paint our own narratives and all those type of things. And I'll give you a perfect example is this past year, as much as I preach, you know, trust the projections, if you're going to do it, you know, obviously if you don't have time, if you don't want to go down that road, you know, obviously you just rank whoever you want to rank, kind of like Pat May always talks about. And that's why he always jokes his own rankings. But if you want to go to the projections route, like I do, the perfect example I have is, so I ran my projections last year and Lamar Jackson came out as the third quarterback. And I said, ooh, that feels really high. And I adjusted projections a little bit, pulled back their offense as a whole, and it trickled down through everybody in the offense, which actually hurt Mark Andrews too. And, you know, dropped it down, I think, to like sixth or seventh. And obviously even my initial projections were too low, but it was closer than, and I think anybody, I don't know, anybody had him as number one heading into the season. And I just say that to be not like, oh, look at me. It's the fact that I can even doubt my own process and make the same mistakes everybody else can make. But it comes down to, if you build the foundation of the projections like I have, more often than not, it's going to be it's math. It's taking out your biases. And, you know, that's why I think I've had the success I've had.
As a math teacher, I love that. But it's kind of like a domino effect, like you just kind of alluded to. If you adjust your projections for Lamar Jackson, then it affects Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown and then maybe even Mark Ingram, and it just goes from there. And I'm assuming if you, you know, raise your projections for a quarterback, it does the same thing.
Right. Well, that's the biggest thing, is you got to make sure if you're going to do projections, your quarterback can't have leftover stats, maybe a handful, because we're not going to predict every single injury and every single possible replacement down to wide receiver 9 or something like that. But the biggest thing you can't do, you can't have the wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends all add up for more receiving and passing touchdowns than the quarterback is throwing. Like, it doesn't work that way. So yeah, it's the waterfall effect, if you will. And same thing goes for the backfield. And again, that's why I brought up what I said, the team as a whole, is because, you know, I'll project offenses, and if Mark Ingram and that entire backfield of Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, and I had them all rushing for 1,800 yards, but I had the team rushing for 1,500, again, something else is wrong. You can't just make up things like that.
Yeah, so once you change one thing, you really do have to go in and check very carefully what else could it have possibly changed.
Exactly. And again, so the entire projections, without giving it away, I mean, there's all sorts of, it would take the entire show to tell you everything that's involved, right, with mine for football and baseball. The one thing that's different is baseball is actually, if you want to put in the time, I say this year after year, baseball's easier. Easier to be right. It's harder to do. It takes more time, but it's easier to be right because their statistics are statistics, you know, a lot less variance over the course of 162 games. So if you trust your projections over there, it's a lot easier to get that right. As I mean, the one, again, I don't know what happened in 2017, but the back to back number ones kind of point to the success you can
have.
Who
do you have ranked number one in baseball right now?
I'm not going to tell you that. Also, because I'm not done. the projections come out Monday. Well, so
I know Fantasy Pros expert consensus right now has Ronald Acuna, and as a Braves fan, I love that.
I think I can tell you my initial. I'm not done. I'm still working on it to make sure, but because it's for baseball, it's Z score. And I'll give you while I'm sorting right now. The quick version for everybody out there is that's how you get the adjusted for, like, who's going to say that 30 home runs is more valuable than 20 stolen bases? Like, and that's what the Z score does. It takes your production against the average replacement value and then gives you a score. So you can be positive or negative. So in any case, let's see. I'll tell you right now, I have initial run Trout, Yelich, Acuna, Betts,
all
Bellinger.
Right. Yeah, I was surprised to see Acuna above Trout on Fantasy Pros, but hey, maybe it'll be his year. So
it could be, but the only thing stopping Trout from being number one is his health,
for sure.
I don't know. I mean, the biggest thing is, like, I don't know. We're talking football, but baseball, 20 average points is huge.
We're talking Sealy right now. We're not talking baseball or football. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty big for it. And Trout, yeah, should be number one. But you were right. Any other things you have to say about, your process for when it goes about rankings? I know there's differences between football and baseball, of course, but are there any similarities between the two?
Like I said, just trust the projection and the process. The difference, too, is, like, when I'm talking about this for rankings, you know, as you guys know, and I'm sure you do in your own drafts, like, just because I explained this in an article too, just because I have the rankings the way that they are, doesn't mean you should just go straight down the rankings from 1 to 300 or 1 to 400, whatever it might be, because then you're not building potentially the best team, football or baseball, because, right, you know, if you draft 5 wide receivers in a row, you know, your football team is not going to be that good. If you draft 13 guys with power and you have 0 stolen bases or low run potential, then you're going to hurt yourself in baseball too. So again, the rankings are there and the accuracy is there for being right about the rankings, as in player X was higher than player Y, but building a team, don't ever just go straight down. You have to take the value of the draft and you have to take your positional need for your own team.
100%. Absolutely. All right, well, let's bring this back around to fantasy football. So we are doing a segment that's kind of a spinoff of a segment that we did near the end of the season on the Thursday show. We are, we're going to call it the Not Top 10. We're going to look at the top 10 for running back and wide receiver. We're looking at half PPR and picking out some players who are not going to be in the top 10 next year. So I'm going to read through the players in order here, and I'll just kind of rotate between each one of you guys as to who you think won't be in there. So running backs in half PPR, we've got from 1 through 10, Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry at 6, Nick Chubb, Mark Ingram, Leonard Fournette, and Chris Carson. And this is a little bit easier to do when you pull up who finished 11 through 15, and you can say, okay, well, this guy definitely is going to finish in the top 10, so who do I bump out? So, Jake, of those 10 right there, who are you thinking won't finish inside the top 10 next year?
Half of them, almost. I think I don't want to take the easiest one, I guess, in my opinion, but I'll go right towards Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram, just by the offense itself and the injuries that we saw from some other running backs, some bounce backs, the rookies coming out, I just don't see Mark Ingram having that success for next year, because if you look at him on a game by game too, he was RB1-2 about half the games. He has a lot of single digit performances. And if you take away some of those touchdowns, which I don't want to because he's in a great offense for it, but if it swings just a little bit the other direction, I mean, I don't even talk, it doesn't even to be Alvin Kamara bad, but it just a little bit, there's no way he finishes a top 12 running back.
Yeah, I think I could agree with that. He's not my number one choice to pull off, but if you look at 11, 12, and 13 is Saquon, Gurley, and Kamara. I don't think anyone could, maybe you could say Gurley probably not, or maybe not top 10, but I think most people would put Barkley and Kamara in there. So you have to bump a couple players out. Rob, what are you thinking? You agree with Mark Ingram? You're a Ravens fan.
As a Baltimore fan, no, absolutely not. That offense only going to get better, and Mark Ingram's going to score 44 touchdowns next next year. I don't know what you're talking about, Jake. That's crazy talk, guy. Crazy talk, Jake. So I don't know. I think I would say I don't think Austin Eckler is going to be in the top 10. I think he really showed out last year, but I don't think he's going to repeat quite to the same high peak there. And like you said, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, and mind-blowingly, Miles Sanders. I did not know he finished 14 and half point end of season.
But great stretch to end.
Yeah, wow. Finished ahead of Mixon. That's wild. So I would think that Miles Sanders, if he can be a bell cow back in Philadelphia, can take Austin Eckler's place in that list.
Yeah, I'm pulling Eckler out as well. Steve, what about you?
I think you can pull out Fournette and even Chris Carson, to be honest with you, because, you allude to Kamara, you allude to Barkley, but even if you look at Miles Sanders, and yeah, he had a good stretch towards the end of the year, but he also didn't see a lot of high volume early on. Josh Jacobs missed some time. Joe Mixon didn't really get going till the end of the year. So these are guys that could really fall into that, 8, 12, 13 window. So I think some of these guys just kind of fell in there based on situation. I mean, you look at Barkley, you look at Kamara, they dealt with some injuries. So obviously, they were impacted by missed games and, playing through injuries like every other player does in the NFL. But yeah, I would say Ingram, Fournette, Carson, I can agree with Eckler, all those guys not being in the top 10.
Well, and we even have some guys who finished even lower who you can make an argument for, top 10 for next year. I mean, Melvin Gordon. Obviously, he missed a chunk of the season, but he was at 26. Who else did I just looked right over him? James Conner dealt with injury. You can make arguments for either of those guys being top 10.
Yep.
Let's see. I think Aaron Jones. Jake, do you think you'll have him as top 10? I mean, I know it's way early. You're not doing your projections, not even close to finishing those yet, but I would say Aaron Jones not top 10 next season. What do you think?
Well, and you also didn't mention Josh Jacobs.
I did not mention Josh Jacobs.
I just want to throw that in. Josh Jacobs, who finished RB17 in 13 games. So we talk about him leapfrogging. So I know I actually already did my way too early rankings. They're not projections. They're just initial gut reaction rankings for 2020. Aaron Jones was not in the top 10 because Aaron Jones has nothing to do with Aaron Jones' talent. It has everything to do with the Packers. It's the same thing I said at the beginning of last year. Same thing I'll say year after year after year. I will never own Aaron Jones. Because it's the Packers. If you could look, Aaron Jones is one of the most productive running backs on a per touch basis. I'm not discounting Aaron Jones, the player. I'm discounting his situation. And if you look at it, they had huge games, more volatile than Mark Ingram. And, it's just, I can see this, he's already potentially out with like 16 touchdowns. So let's say he pulls the Kamara. Actually, again, another one, he doesn't even have to pull Kamara, take off 6 touchdowns. And now you're already putting him down by Mark Ingram, and let alone of the people potentially leapfrogging him. So I'm out on Aaron Jones inside the top 10. And it wouldn't surprise me. I know we're not talking about him, but it would be a surprise for me if Taylor or Swift or maybe even two or three running backs that are rookies end up in a situation that jump these guys, let alone the fact that you mentioned Melvin Gordon. I'm going to disagree with one that was said so far, though. I actually do think Leonard Fournette is solidly inside the top 10 because he had 1,600 plus, almost 1,700 yards.
76 catches.
Was one of the, yes, 76 catches. One of the league leaders in rushes inside the 10 and only had three touchdowns. That's coming. Basically, Aaron Jones is going the opposite direction. Leonard Fournette is going the opposite direction. And maybe if they meet in the middle, well, there you go. I'd actually rather have Leonard Fournette. So I actually disagree on that. I agree on the rest. Austin Eckler, I think the Chargers will show us what they want to do. If the Chargers bring in somebody significant, like a Jordan Howard who's in free agency or something like that, I might think and say that Austin Eckler could do it. I wouldn't put him there, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did it. Now, obviously, if they bring in somebody significant or even bring back Melvin Gordon, which probably not happening after what happened last year, but I think that'll be telling for us what the Chargers think of Austin Eckler being able to do it again.
All right, guys. Anything else on running backs? Rob, Steve, you good to go?
No, I'm ready to move on.
I gotta say, I think Leonard Fournette might get looked over, and I'm pretty excited about that. Let's move to wide receivers because there are, you know, I think two or three guys in here I think you can definitely make the argument against. 1 through 10 in half PPR, Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Kenny Galladay, Cooper Kupp at 6, Julian Edelman, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, and Allen Robinson. And I'm going to take the easy one and say Julian Edelman.
I don't think anybody's going to argue.
I don't think so either. So I'll say Allen Robinson, not top 10 next year.
I'm not going to disagree, but I don't have him far. I actually had him at 13 heading into next year. So I don't have him far outside the top 10, but I just to see him get back into the top 10 with Trubisky, even the volume there. My biggest concern for that is the David Montgomery in his second season, although he wasn't impressive at times, but more so we finally saw Anthony Miller start to catch on. And I think that the volume share, what we loved about Allen Robinson, I think decreases for next season just because you're going to have, I wouldn't be surprised if they added somebody through the draft or through free agency at wide receiver too. It's just, I don't know that he still sees that kind of target share next year. It'd be great if he did. It's actually, to tell you the truth, if he told me he was going to get that target share next year, I'd put him back inside the top 10 because Trubisky had a bad year and he was inside the top 10.
Yeah, Devontae Parker was only 1.6 points behind him though.
Well, and from week four on, he was a mile ahead of him.
Yeah, I think he was, what, the wide receiver too? For the last three, four seasons.
Only behind Michael Thomas.
It's ridiculous. Steve, let me kick it over to you. What are you thinking here? Who's not top 10?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of tough. But I'm going to look at possibly Kenny Galladay. And the only reason why I'm going to say this is because you look at the situation in Detroit with Matt Stafford. You know, he lost a lot of, well, not a lot of the year, good portion of the year anyways, because of his back injury. Now, is he going to be able to come back and be the same guy? Hard to say. Not to mention you have issues within the offensive line. You have issues in the backfield. Kenny Galladay is the best target on the team. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. For some reason, I just don't see him being inside the top 10. I can see him being outside of the top 10. You got some other rookies that, you know, made a statement this year. You have some other guys that could really fall in there. I mean, DJ Moore, if he had a better quarterback situation throughout the year, could have probably easily been in the top 10. I mean, if Allen Robinson was there with Mitch Trubisky, you could certainly make a case for him. But Kenny Galladay is a guy I see as always seen as the type of wide receiver that would just be outside of the top 10, somewhere like 12 to 15.
I'm going
to
disagree hard. Hard. Jake, how do you feel about that? Galladay outside the top 10?
Well, I have Galladay at number 9, so there's your answer.
So Jake's on my side.
I put it this way. I don't want to say no way because we just saw what the Giants did with Odell Beckham. I'd say there's a 99% chance they don't trade Stafford. If Stafford's gone, then he's not inside the top 10 for me. But if Stafford's back, then he is.
Rob, what are you thinking?
Well, I know I'm risking being hated on at this point, but I'm going to go with Mike Evans, actually, and not because I doubt the talent of the player. What I have an issue with is the uncertainty of his quarterback next year. And I think there are some people that are down the list a little bit that are going to definitely be up there again next year. And that would be people like Tyreek Hill at 29. You've got Devontae Adams at 27. Odell Beckham Jr. at 31. These are guys that we expect to see much higher up on this list. So I don't think Mike Evans' fall from the top 10 is because he's bad or is starting to get over the hill. I think Chris Godwin showed out, and he's going to kind of take over as the 1A, Mike Evans 1B, which just slightly fades him down on my list.
What do you guys think about Cooper Kupp? Do you still think he'll be top 10 next year?
No. That was a hard now for me.
I mean, he was one that I was looking at, but I mean, again, he's a favorite target of Goff, and there was a lot of issues within that offense this year. Obviously, they relied heavily. We just talked about this yesterday. They would rely heavily on the run. Their stretch run offense, they feed off of play action, and that's where Cooper Kupp was big, and that offense kind of evolved. You know, Kupp, you know, was at six last year because he had a lot of big games early on in the year. He fell off for a while, but he is a favorite target in that offense. So is it possible? Sure. But is it possible he can stay in there? Yeah, I'd say it's a higher probability, especially in half PPR.
Yeah, he's a touchdown monster. A lot of targets in the red zone.
Yeah, his quarterback's still Jared Goff.
Yeah,
yeah, touche.
You don't know which Jared Goff you're going to
get. Kenny Galladay's quarterback is Stafford, so that's the difference.
Yeah, Stafford's significantly better.
Yeah, Rams are a better team, but yeah, I would much rather have Stafford, at least for this year anyway.
There's one more that we didn't talk about that I'm surprised, and it's more, you know what? I don't think I'd be necessarily shocked if he finished number 10. He only finished number 9. Can we stop with Amari Cooper every year? Like every year people talk themselves into Amari Cooper, and every year, you know who Amari Cooper is. And for everybody out there, you want the perfect example. If you've been playing fantasy football for 10 to 12 years, he's DeSean Jackson in his prime, not the same player, not the same skill set, but the same fantasy production. Get the hell over Amari Cooper. He doesn't deserve to be a wide receiver one, even if he finishes there, and he's not going to next year.
Let's tell us how you really feel about Amari Cooper.
So Jared Goff, Amari Cooper, and Jared Cook, if they were in a sinking ship, I would just wave. I wouldn't even throw
them. All right. I love it.
I'll sign off on that.
I love it. All right. On that note, before the show gets any more murdery, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Jake.
I didn't say murder. I just want to help
true.
Them.
That's true. Right. Wink, wink, right? Wink, wink. Yep. Jake, why don't you give our listeners, you know, all the information about where they can follow you, find you, support you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, the easiest way is just at AllInKid, as you mentioned before. That's where I tweet everything out, because over at The Athletic, it was where all the work is, but I tweet out the links to all the articles, which, by the way, if you want to go over there, even if you don't play fantasy baseball, if you just want to sign up now and get 40% off, just go find the fantasy baseball draft kit. It's 40% off. It's huge for you. And then you mentioned it as well, the All in Sports podcast. But again, the easiest way, just at AllInKid. I tweet everything out so you don't have to do all the searching for you.
All right. Yep. Guys, go give him a follow. Thank you for tuning in this week. Jake, thank you so much for coming on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show, at Esorbor1 to find Rob. Steve is SBAC21 and I am Prof_ChrisSW. And then follow us on the Sleeper app at Esorbor, SBAC21 and Professor Chris. Jake, thanks again for joining us. Rob, Steve, thanks for joining me as well. Everybody else, we will catch you next time.